My vacuum cleaner literally fell apart in my hands. I had a handle something like this, and you see that handle part? It broke. So I had a couple of headless nails and duct tape, and I had it all taped back together again. But once I did that, that little slidey thing that gives us its energy was kind of hard to make it go up and down and back and forth and so on. And it was a bagless vacuum. So although I cleaned out the filters every time I was done sweeping, it still got clogged to a point where it was almost uncleanable. And after I'd be done vacuuming, the house kind of stunk. Combination of dust and, you know that smell you get from a electric motor being overworked? That kind of permeated the house. And my wife would often say, "You need to get yourself a new sweeper." And I would think to myself, and she'd also say, "Get one with bags." And I'd think, "That's dumb. Why in the world would you pay for bags when you don't have to? Why in the world would you replace an appliance that's working just fine? Why spend the money?" So one day I'm sweeping in the bedroom and that handle's worse than ever, and it would only work if you twisted it in an odd way, exposing some of the broken plastic and pinching into your skin. So it was, finally, I just dropped the thing and I headed for the front door. The wife says, "Where are you going?" "Get a new vacuum." So I bring this thing home. Didn't like it at first. It doesn't steer like my old one did. It's got different attachments. Worst of all, it has bags. But after I stuck with it for a little while, you know, it actually steers better than the old one. And I found out that not having to clean the machine for 20 minutes after you've cleaned the floors was pretty nice. Those bag people, they may be on to something. So I'm learning that change can be a wonderful thing. And Jesus said that a long time ago in Luke chapter 5, verse 37. "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined." No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. So here we are, God. Many of us are old wineskins. And I know that you would work back into us a flexibility so that we can receive fresh wine from the Spirit of God. Some of us, God, have really been in the thick of things in the past and felt your presence and your Spirit so strong. It's been sweet. It's been wonderful. But you would have us receive something fresh. And we can't do that while we're clinging to the old. Set us free, we pray, to worship you and be part of the next great movement of God in America and throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Would you agree with me that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to the world? Amen. Amen. Best thing ever. In fact, he was the fulfillment of what the Jews were looking forward to for centuries. Every Hebrew looked forward to the coming, the revelation of the Messiah, more than anything else in life. Oh, Messiah is coming. All of their laws, their national celebrations, their national experiences, and their heroes all pointed to the Messiah. Abraham was a type of the Christ to come, as was Joseph and Moses, and especially David. Generation after generation, they were mired in sin, laden with these heavy regulations from the law, ever-creeping corruption in their society, corrupting those in the temple as well as in the palace. And they groaned, often groaned under the oppression of foreign invaders. And they longed, and all the time they would be saying to their children, Messiah is coming. Keep your hope. Keep your faith alive. Messiah is coming. Soon he will break through, and he will be with us forever. Until then, they had this law, cumbersome, exacting, laden with guilt, expensive to comply with. And every generation that came through added to the burden. There was the pure law of God. But every rabbi that came along added a few rules to the laws. The Bible said, the law said, keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then the rabbis came by and said, okay, here's how you're going to keep it holy. You can only walk this far. You can only do this. You can only do it. Don't ever do that. You better do that. And it got to a place after the centuries went on and so many rabbis added so many rules. You couldn't do anything without a rule. The way you got out of bed in the morning, the clothes you wore, the foods you ate, the fast days that you had to comply with, everything had at least one rule, if not hundreds of rules. So they're legal. They're legalistic. And they're going through their routine day after day, heavy burdens from the law. Jesus comes along. And the laws and traditions were so restrictive. They were so heavy. But Jesus comes and he starts breaking the rules. Not the laws of God, but all those add-on little nicky-nacky rules that the rabbis had put in force. And he starts doing things people weren't allowed to do in Israel for a very long time. And that sure got everybody's attention. But those rules, as restrictive as they were, as hated as they were, they'd become the lifestyle of the people. It's who they were. It's what they did. It's how they live. This is us. Jesus proved his authority to break those rules, first of all, by doing many great works like healing people, calming storms, and raising the dead back to life again. Would that get your attention? You're at a funeral, and the guy is up there all laid out. The preacher's doing his thing. Jesus walks by, and the guy gets out of the casket and starts walking around with him. Would you maybe think, this is different? That something's happening here. Or there's a storm. Picture my hair going. And Jesus steps forward and he says, peace, be still. And as calm as can be. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. But then he answers all the objections by all those lawyers and all those keepers of the law, the scribes. He answers them by quoting scripture. Thus saith the Lord, Jesus says. And all of a sudden the people smile because all that stuff that kept them bound, all that varnish is being washed away. They're starting to enjoy church again. They're starting to enjoy the things of God. And finally, he spoke with this authority that nobody else ever had. He had this presence about him. Indeed, he was the very presence of God. This is awesome. Jesus is awesome. There was that law, heavy, cumbersome. And now there's this fresh breath from heaven called Jesus. And he's making us love the things we thought we hated and hate the things we thought we needed. And it's all becoming brand new all over again. It's such an awesome thing. Now you might think, with everything I just described to you, that when Jesus came, everybody just ran to him. That it swept a whole generation into the kingdom of God. After all, this is what they had been waiting for centuries. When the Messiah comes, when the Messiah comes, when the Messiah, well, he's here. And he's actually better than advertised. He's raising the dead, he's calming storms, he's doing all these sweet things. He's teaching so powerfully. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? What excuse could there possibly be that this great Jesus is here and they're not ready to embrace him? He's displaying godly power, opening up the scriptures like no one else. His love and compassion are overwhelming. What held them back? Jesus tells us in our scripture. All this was different. It was new. They were used to their traditions, their shackles, their restraints. Freedom felt kind of naughty. I'm not sure we're supposed to feel good in church. I'm not sure we're supposed to like it. I don't think we're supposed to enjoy God. I think we're supposed to be afraid of him. You don't go to the temple to get healed. You go there to pay your dues. Everybody knows that. This tax, that fee. Jesus sums up the opposition in our text, and this is from the New Living Translation. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. They don't want the new. They like the old, but wait a second, they didn't like the old. It was so cumbersome, and most people were cheating on it anyway, and they didn't like it, and they, oh, when the Messiah comes, when the Messiah comes, when the Messiah comes. Messiah came, oh, I want the old, I want the old, I want the old. Huh? Behold, I reveal to you the dark secrets of humanity. We want change, we want change, we want change. Oh, I like it just the way it was. When change comes. Tonight we're going to be talking about 13 things you need to understand about change that will bless you in your life. So if you can at all possibly make it tonight, tonight may be the more important of the two services, but it'll bless you. Whether it's church, whether it's family, whether it's business, whatever you're involved in, God loves change. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So that's 6 o'clock tonight if you're good to go, or you can join us online, what have you. They could have had a drink from the fountain of God. They could have had the sparkling, fresh new wine. But they decided, no, I think I'd rather have the old. You see, those that flocked to Jesus got it. They embraced the plan, the future, the reward. Who came to Jesus first? Do you recall? Was it the scribes and the Pharisees and those that really studied the law and were real good at it? Wasn't it the prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners and fishermen? Those that John the Baptist got ready were the first ones who were ready for Jesus. They were so tired of the old, they didn't want any part of it. And so when Jesus cast a fresh vision, they said, we're all in. And it took a long time for those that were so good at the law. But I've been dressing this way all my life. My whole wardrobe is made up of legalistic stuff. I have to go shopping now? Let's kind of just get lost in the moment there. That's. Don't worry, be happy. All right, where was I? Okay. So let's compare the old to the new, shall we? How many prefer coming into church and singing songs of joy and worship before the Lord as opposed to what they used to do. You would bring a sheep along with you and butcher it on the altar. How many are more attracted by the old you? You know, hey, oh, I forgot, we got to stop by Nell's on the way to church this morning and get me a sheep. Oh, yeah, you know, blah, and make sure you wear your old clothes because you don't want blood splattered all over it. You know, let's just going to go kill a bunch of, how many like the old? You know, that's, how many prefer the new? Let's come in and sing joyfully before, I think maybe. How about back in the old day, I got a need. This is so pressing. I need to pray. I need a priest. I need a priest. I need a lamb, then I need a priest. Get a lamb, get a priest, because I have to have a mediator. I have to have somebody who knows God to talk to God on behalf. And then there's the new. Oh, I have a need. Dear Jesus, would you please? How many like the new rather than the old? How about dress code? How about, you know, they say we're going to have a couple days in the 80s this week. How many are going to dress up like an Amish person and maybe wear your coat too? How many prefer you get your shorts on, your short sleeve, and hallelujah, woohoo? You know, yeah, I prefer the nude. And Jesus, that's Jesus. Jesus is bringing all this, setting them free. The veil was rent in two. Direct access with God when we pray, promise that everybody would be filled with the Holy Spirit, all kind of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff. But there, no, I think I like the old way of doing things. Several years ago, I announced we want to be a better church. I want to be a better pastor. Now, why is that? It's because there's more lost people out there than there are saved people in here. And we're not done yet. We have to do this better so that they have a chance at glory. Amen? That's why we're here. So, God, I want to be found faithful. When I get to heaven, he's not going to ask me about my wardrobe. He's not going to ask me about my car. He's not going to ask me about my vacuum cleaner. But he's going to be concerned about how concerned I was about the lost souls out around where he planted us as a church. Inherent in the cry to get better is a need for change. You can't keep doing the same old thing over and over again and expect some different result. So, Lord, change us. Little did I realize that God's answer to that cry would be sending us visionaries, people to help us to see a brighter future, then guide us in the steps necessary to get there. Visionaries. Kind of started with some younger board members and some older board members. I won't put names to either category for my own safety's sake, but a good board. Added to that were others with such a longing for outreach, it drives them. We have some people who get woken up in the middle of the night. Because they long to see people born again. They're dying inside. They feel the pain of the lost. And initiatives have already begun. We must reach out from in here. We must take the church to them. Finally, a young couple moved back into the area. They joined with a couple that's been here for a long time. They started asking everyone questions. They wrote down what they heard, and a plan began to emerge. Step number one, find out who we are and why we're here. And so they just started asking people, what's New Life Assembly of God like? What are our strengths? Who are we? Okay, why are we here? What do you think God has in mind for us? And that became part of our brand guidepost. You received two pieces of paper today when you came through. One was your bulletin, the other one was your brand guidepost, just a part of it anyway. We had shared this at the annual business meeting, but I thought it would be apropos to just to do a little refresher today. And step number two, we formulated a vision. Okay? Who are we? A Spirit-empowered family of believers building relationships and helping a hurting world find Jesus. This is who we are. A Spirit-empowered family of believers building relationships and helping a hurting world find Jesus. We boiled that down into a purpose statement. Why are we here? We're here to worship the Lord, build a body of believers, reach the lost, and minister to a hurting world. And then we distilled all that down into one big idea. Expect Jesus. Expect Jesus. When you come here for a service, expect Jesus. Don't get messed up over, oh, I need to tell so-and-so such and such. Don't get tripped up over, oh, I want to make sure that I sign up for this or for that. Our reason for being, our reason for coming together, expect Jesus. Expect Him here. Expect His soon return. And do everything you can to get yourself and everybody else ready. Now let me ask you, is that something you can buy into? Is that something you want to be a part of? Is that the kind of church you want us to be, that we are about Jesus? Is that something that you can get behind? So a new driveway, lights up that driveway, new service times, and much more to come is about getting wineskins ready for the new wine being poured out by the Lord. It's already begun to flow, but it's going to come in heavier doses. Don't get hung up on the changes. Expect the future from God. For what will be, what He is doing for the reward. Focus is a key word in this refresh that we're doing. We are refocusing who we are and why we're here. You see, after we organize and we go for a while, we become a little bit scattered. Our purposes become many. Our foci are varied. And it's time to refocus. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we are doing? Focus is very important. This first stage is called repair. We're looking around to see what needs repaired. We're getting the ark ready for what God is about to do. But I want to show you, I want to demonstrate to you why focus is so important. So I'm going to ask Bill from the booth to run the video clip that we have here for this morning.
The monkey business illusion. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball.
Okay, stop it right there, will you?
The correct answer is 16.
Hold on. How many got 16 passes? Okay, good. How many got something other than 16 passes? Okay, we're about half and half on that one. How many saw the monkey walk across the stage? How many have no idea what I just talking about? About half and half again. How many saw the girl dressed in a black shirt walk off the stage? Okay, that's about 10%. How many saw the curtains change color? Okay, about 3 out of it all. Okay, go ahead and continue it.
15 passes. Did you spot the gorilla? For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half missed the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it. But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game? Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold. When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events. And that's the monkey business illusion.
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate your help from the booth there. Yeah. And the point of it is, we do not see what we're not focused on. We all think that we can multitask, but the truth is we can't. We have to focus in order to learn, in order to move forward. Now, how many would have sworn there was not a monkey the first time you saw that? Yeah, yeah. It was there just as true as can be. Focus, focus. So the sign out front has one job to do. To tell everybody, this is where we meet. Run into a lot of people in town. Where's your church? Oh, it's up there on 194 on the left. Oh, you mean that little white one on the right? No, there's no church up there. We're like the monkey walking across the screen sometimes. So we're changing the sign to do its job better. And in here, things are going to be changing too. The colors of the wall. The lights have already changed. The stage design is going to change. Why? To help us to focus. Because we get distracted very easily. A couple weeks ago, we were in the gym and set up there because we were having some work done in here. After I preached this amazing sermon, I'm standing at the door and I can't tell you how many people went past and said, Pastor, did you know that we have some water damage up around the windows? You know, what they noticed during that amazing sermon. And no, the sermon was not about water damage. Focus, 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 focus. When we get right with God, because part of the repair isn't just the ceiling. Part of the repair is right here with me, right here with you. In my view from my window on your bulletin, you'll notice I used an illustration of changing the washers in my dad's old faucet. Sometimes the whole thing doesn't need changed. You just need to replace the parts that are supposed to be flexible but have hardened with time. And that's true of me, that's true of you. When we have traditions that we have held on to, when they were good in their time, and they were the new wineskins at one time, they were great. But with time, they've lost their meaning, they've lost their edge, and God wants to do a new thing. We need to be flexible enough to let God do what God wants to do. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto me. That's what we do here at New Life Assembly of God. That's why church exists, to lift up the name of Jesus. Expect Jesus. How many noticed I changed shirts during the time there? Okay, about half again. So expect Jesus. You see how dull we are? You see how much help we need? God, do your thing in us. All this prepping is about the ark. And once it's done, we will redirect all of our energies on outreach and reaching those who need Jesus Christ. Next time you feel a pang because of change, oh, but I like the old better. I wish we could. Think wineskins. Wineskins. Trust me. If you want proof, come talk to me privately. I've already had a couple of my sacred cows shot. You know, they went down hard. No, I love you. Don't let them take me away. See you at McDonald's. It change hurts. But next time a change pinches you, think wineskins. Or maybe more properly, wineskins. Oh, I want the old way that we had. I don't like the new way. So I've told the Lord, no matter what it costs me, no matter how much it hurts, I surrender. Do what you want to do, but help us to do what you've called us to do. I want to finish the work. I want to do the will of him who sent us. Tuesday morning, I'm driving into work, and I'm behind a school bus. It's one of my favorite things, get behind a school bus. And I'm in a loaner car because my car is in the garage. And this is a brand new car. And it's got one of those screens on the dashboard. And I had the radio playing. And one of the things that came up on the screen was it would tell you the title of the song and who it was by. And it would come up one word at a time. So a song came on that I really liked. So I cranked up the radio. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the screen. The school bus had just stopped in front of me, and it came up one word at a time. We won't be shaken by building. I thought, there's a group called Building? Yeah, Building 429, actually. But, I mean, those words, no wonder God put my car in the shop for the night and got me a car with it. Kind of kept thinking, who takes a 2007 into the shop for repairs and then gives you a 2016 to use? We won't be shaken by building. Tears filled my eyes because I knew God just got in the car and was giving me the message that I'm delivering to you this morning. You are my brother, you are my sister, and we will not be shaken by changes. We will not be shaken by changes in the building or anything else. Together we'll rise and sing, because we won't be shaken. That's part of the chorus of that song. Together we'll rise and sing, because we won't be shaken. We will be part. We will be the new wineskins. We will not be corrupted. We will not be dry rotted. New wine requires new wineskins, Jesus said. It requires it. Things have to be broken up. My wife's been having a lot of trouble with her left shoulder. And I forget the technical term. Tyler could help me out with this, but capsulitis of some kind. What is that? Adhesive capsulitis. Thank you very much. Adhesive. It sticks together, And it really hurts when you move it. And so the doctor says the cure for that is to move it a lot. And it hurts a lot. Oh. But every time you do that, it breaks up some of that adhesion that's in there. And so that you can have a little bit more freedom. Do you get the sermon implication there? Change is hard. Oh, this hurts. Oh, we don't want to do this anymore. Jesus is that wonderful physical therapist that comes in and grabs your arm and twists it up over your head. I haven't done that in 20 years. Well, congratulations. We just did it together. Take some pain medicine and call me in the morning. Don't obsess over the color of the carpet. Work to see lost souls walking on it to find Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and Sadducees missed it because they refused to get over their past and embrace what God was doing in their present and in their future. If you know God like I do, then you will understand He loves to mess with you. He loves it. Often you pray and you pray and you get trouble. Things get worse. Oh, God, you haven't heard my prayer. Oh, yeah, He has. And He's answering it. He's just helping you with therapy. But He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. God is in this place. You get the natural implication, right? Wine in the New Testament is a type of the Holy Spirit. God wants to pour out a wonderful blessing of His Holy Spirit. I was in an Assembly of God church back in the 70s when the charismatic movement came through. And I was amazed at how many good old-time Pentecostals had nothing to do with the charismatic movement that was coming through. They didn't want people that dressed like that. They didn't want those things happening in their church. That's not the way they used to do it. And I was grieving as a teenager. Isn't this what we were taught? Isn't this what we longed for the longest time? For those that were lost to be found had come into the body. And now that they're here, we're saying you can't sit here. Oh my God, what are we doing? New wine requires new wineskins. It requires flexibility in us. We need to be willing. We need to be able. A new move of the Spirit of God requires new wineskins. I want to be a part of what God is going to do. How about you? I'm happy to have been a part of what God has done. Thank God. But I want to be a part of what God is about to do. Our closing song will help us to focus on what it's all about. I just want to be where He is, dwelling daily in His presence.